Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson, and we are continuing our look at the Journal of Discourses, 26 volumes of sermons given by various leaders in the latter part of the 19th century. Yesterday, we began looking at the Word of Wisdom, which, as we explained, the Word of Wisdom can be found in Section 89 of the Doctrine and Covenants. It's known basically as the Mormon Health Law, and if you were to ask most Mormons, well, what's the big thing about the Word of Wisdom? What are the big prohibitions that you take away from the Word of Wisdom? Probably the big three, wouldn't you agree, Eric, would probably be tobacco, the use of tobacco, the use of alcohol, and hot drinks. It doesn't say coffee, it doesn't say tea, it says merely hot drinks. And of course, that has been interpreted to mean coffee and tea over the years, although it had a much broader application during the 19th century, at least by one general authority, and we'll be talking about that later on. But we want to continue our look at this use of tobacco, because you would think of all the vices that are prohibited in the Word of Wisdom, the problem of tobacco would be the one that you would think they would want to get rid of, you know, on the top of the list. And yet we find many times there are sermons during the 19th century in the Journal of Discourses that talk about the excessive use of tobacco among the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints during this time period. There is a statement, and what volume do you have?
That's there? Volume 9.
Volume 9. Why don't you go ahead and start reading this?
Yeah, this is bringing up.
This is Brigham Young.
This is Brigham Young, mm-hmm. And it's April 7th, 1861. He's giving this in the tabernacle. And this is what he says, page 35. You know that we all profess to believe the Word of Wisdom. There has been a great deal said about it, more in former than in later years. We as Latter-day Saints care but little about tobacco. But as Mormons, we use a vast quantity of it. As saints, we use but little. As Mormons, we use a great deal.
Now, I'm wondering if I'm missing something there, not being in that time period. It's interesting how he makes the distinction between a saint and a Mormon. Now, I don't know exactly, I've got to be quite honest, I don't know exactly why Brigham Young is making that separation, other than I think he's saying, look, we call ourselves saints, and as saints, we use little tobacco.
Publicly.
Perhaps, but as Mormons, we use a great deal of it. And as we talked about yesterday, Brigham Young did instruct Latter-day Saints how they could violate the Word of Wisdom by using tobacco, by using it very sparingly, mm-hmm. and not chewing it, you know, in front of people. And he was actually telling people how to violate the Word of Wisdom, but do it discreetly. But go on in this statement that Young makes.
He said, how much do you suppose goes annually from this territory and has for 10 or 12 years past in gold and silver to supply the people with tobacco? I will say $60,000. Brother William H. Hooper, our delegate in Congress, came here in 1849, and during about 8 years he was selling goods. His sales for tobacco alone amounted to over $28,000 a year.
So one guy is making $28,000. Off selling tobacco in Utah, which is populated at this time primarily by members of the LDS Church.
And their gold and silver were having to go to the southern states probably, and you know, because they wanted to keep that money at home, but mm-hmm. it's like getting goods from China, you know, mm-hmm. your money goes away.
He's outsourcing.
Yeah. At the same time, he writes, there were other stores that sold their share and drew their share of the money expended yearly besides what has been brought in by the keg and by the half keg. The traders and passing emigration have sold tons of tobacco besides what is sold here regularly. I say that $60,000 annually is the smallest figure I can estimate the sales at.
Now, $60,000 a year back in the 1800s,
wow,
that's a considerable amount.
That's a lot of gold and
yeah,
silver.
That's a lot of money now, but yeah. Can you imagine back then?
Tobacco can be raised here as well as it can be raised in any other place. It wants attention and care. If we use it, let us raise it here. I recommend for some man to go to raising tobacco. One man who came here last fall is going to do so, and if he is diligent, he will raise quite a quantity. I want to see some man go, too, and make a business of raising tobacco and stop sending money out of the territory for that article.
So here we find Brigham Young the pragmatist. I mean, we're not supposed to be doing this at all, but if we're going to do it, let's at least make some money off of it. So instead of sending the money outside of the territory, we're going to keep the money within ourselves.
Can you imagine that with any other sin? I mean, if we're going to do, I hate to use the idea, but prostitution. Well, you're going to do it anyway. Let's just go ahead and make it so that we keep the money here. I mean, that's unthinkable. So why is this allowed if this is something you're supposed to keep?
I don't recall anybody in the Mormon church ever correcting Brigham Young on that either. Maybe some did and it never was recorded. But can you imagine going to Brigham Young and saying, you know what? This isn't right. You shouldn't be advocating breaking the word of wisdom if it's something that we should keep. Why are you allowing people to do it and even encouraging people to grow the tobacco that you're not even supposed to be partaking in? It seems like a huge contradiction to me.
Well, and the money seems to be the biggest issue. He's really not liking the money going outside the territory.
He does mention that. He does mention it more than once. So. Yeah.
And here's what he continues on saying. Some of the brethren are very strenuous upon the word of wisdom and would like to have me preach upon it and urge it upon the brethren and make it a test of fellowship. I do not think that I shall do so. I have never done so. We annually spend only $60,000 to break the word of wisdom, and we can save the money and still break it if we will break it.
So read that first part again. What is he saying? He says that somebody wants to make it a test of fellowship.
Yeah.
That if they don't keep the word of wisdom, in other words, if you don't keep the word of wisdom, you will violate that test of fellowship. But isn't that the way the church is now?
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you say that you go and even a small quantity of tobacco and drink whiskey and you tell your bishop, you're not going to get a temple recommend, mm-hmm. which allows you to get the very best this religion has to offer.
If you don't go to the temple, I mean, that's a major part in the Mormon religion, and keeping the word of wisdom is a requirement now. Now, we mentioned, though, that it wasn't always a requirement to go to the temple. That didn't happen until really the 20th century when they started making that mandatory, which raises the question, well, why did they do that if it seems to only be a divine suggestion? If you read verse 2 in section 89, mm-hmm. it's not by commandment. So that was changed later on. Although, as we mentioned yesterday, Joseph Smith did say that keeping the word of wisdom was a requirement for officers in church. You would think that Brigham Young was an officer in the church,
sure.
But what does he go on to say?
Well, that's a good point you're bringing out, because he says some would ask Brother Brigham whether he keeps the word of wisdom. What do you think his answer is, Bill?
It should be yes,
and he says no, and I can say still further, as I told one of the teachers of Nauvoo, I come as near doing so as any man in this generation. It is not using tobacco that particularly breaks the word of wisdom, nor is it the only bad practice it corrects, but it is profitable in every path of life. If our young persons were manly enough to govern their appetites a little, they would not contract these bad habits, but they must have some weaknesses. They must not be perfect and exactly right in everything. It is a loathsome practice to use tobacco in any way. A doctor told an old lady in New York, when she insisted upon his telling her whether snuff would injure her brain, quote, "It will not hurt the brain. There is no fear of snuff's hurting the brain of anyone, for no person that has brains will take snuff." So he has a joke in there.
He throws in a little bit of humor there, and I'm sure the crowd probably chuckled at that one. But the fact remains is that Brigham Young is admitting that he did not keep the word of wisdom. And he said he kept it probably as much as anybody else, but he didn't keep it in its entirety.
And we can talk about later in the 20th century where it became a commandment to be able to use the temple and everything else, but I'm not quite sure. Maybe you can help answer this, Bill. I mean, this was given by God in the 1830s. Joseph Smith receives it, not a commandment, but later it becomes a commandment. But if it's so important, and Mormons take it to be so important today, why wasn't it from the very beginning when he gets this revelation? It seems more logical. It should have started there and not down the road. And here we have the breaking of the word of wisdom over and over again, apparently, by the people who call themselves saints.
It could very well be that back in the 19th century, they probably took verse 2 much more seriously than, of course, the modern Mormon church takes verse 2 now, because it does make it very clear that it's not by commandment or constraint. That's probably what Brigham Young is going to.
A divine suggestion?
Well, exactly. I think that's probably how many people did take it. And it's not that this was actually even original, because there were other movements going on at the time which, you know, felt like the temperance movement, that alcohol was bad and things like that. So it's not like it was original. You have one last quote before we sign off.
Yeah, President Woodruff said in 1867, on April 7th, as far as the money going out of the territory, he acknowledged that that happened. On page 370 of volume 11, he writes, "We have been taught the word of wisdom. It was given to us many years ago, and the Lord said it was applicable to the weakest saint. Very few of us have kept the word of wisdom, but I have no doubt that it is the counsel of President Young. If the counsel of President Young were carried out, it would save the people of this territory $1 million annually."
$1 million. Back, what was the year? 1867?
Seven. Yeah.
Can you imagine what that would equal today?
That would be the alcohol. That would be the tobacco. I don't know if that would be coffee or not.
I would think it would have to include coffee and tea.
That's a lot of money still.
And even when it talks about eating meat sparingly, except in times of extreme cold or famine, I wonder if he was including that in there. I don't know. But it does seem like the word of wisdom was certainly not taken as seriously as it is today. And, of course, I think that's a fair question. Why wasn't it? Those are some good questions I think Latter-day Saints should ask. Why was it not taken so to be so important in the 19th century? But in the 20th century, in the 21st century, you can't even get into a Mormon temple unless you tell the authorities in your church that you are keeping the word of wisdom.
And if you are not, then you need to correct that before you do get your recommend.
Right. You won't get it until you're actually in compliance with the word of wisdom. And really, when you look at the word of wisdom, some of it's kind of silly. And we're going to talk about this. We haven't even done a series on the word of wisdom yet. We're just looking at it in the 19th century context.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Viewpoint on Mormonism is a radio show dedicated to discussing the differences between Mormonism and Christianity in a loving, gentle format. Sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry, this show's goal is to look carefully at the Bible and determine whether or not the beliefs, as taught by the leaders of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, correspond to truth. Now, whether you're a Latter-day Saint or a Christian, you can contact us and even ask a question that we could answer in a future show. Here's how. Email us at contact@mrm.org. Again, that's contact@mrm.org. And if you're a Christian who would like to financially support this radio ministry, you can do that as well. Just go to our website, www.mrm.org, and go to the right top button called Donate. This ministry cannot exist without the financial support of our friends and listeners, and we are grateful to everyone who plays a vital role in what we do. Again, that's mrm.org. We're glad to be on the air and providing this information to you.